Turn to the second of the Psalms which we read, Psalm 138. We shall read again verse 7. Psalm 138 at verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Amen. In these few brief words, the psalmist is showing us the reality of life in this world for the Lord's people. Those who have been called by grace, and they are now following the Lord, seeking His glory, to live to the will of God, to do that will from their heart, that their life might bring praise to the one to whom they owe their redemption. And in walking in this world, guided by the Word of God, there is trouble for the child of God. That is a reality. And let us never think otherwise. We do meet with those who seem to think that for the Christian, there is an easy path to glory. It is certainly of grace and not of our own doing, but it is by no means easy or straightforward. And the psalmist is describing his own experience. Though I walk in the midst of trouble. And yet this is the beauty of the book of Psalms. These things are recorded because in so many respects they are the portion of God's people. Things are no different. It was a fallen world then. It is a fallen world now and shall be until the end of time. Man may pride himself on his achievements and all his advances in knowledge and science and so forth. But man is no different. Man is still that sinful, corrupt creature whose heart is enmity against God his Creator. And there is a sense in which man is worse. Not that his nature is any different, but when there is a lack of the fear of God, when there is a lack of a godly example in society, and those who have power seem determined to do that which is against God's law, no wonder if the people follow them. No wonder if iniquity breaks forth on every hand. Do we not read in Psalm 12 that the wicked walk on every hand, every side, when the vilest men are exalted? Help, Lord, because the godly man ceaseth. That is what we have in our own day. The outbreaking of sin, and in such a way that those who know not the Lord will come against the church and come against God's people. And so it is indeed the case that in this world we have tribulation. Many difficulties for the sincere believer living in such a world as this, but we have encouragement. Help in our trouble. The psalmist knew that help, and the Lord's people today may enjoy it too. Great encouragement for God's people in this world. we shall consider with the Lord's help, the lot of the believer, the Lord's reviving, and the Lord's restraining. Firstly then, the lot of the believer. Though I walk in the midst of trouble. Here is a godly man. His heart is fixed upon the Lord. And he would follow where the word of God directs. And I trust we are the same. This is our comfort. This is our infallible guide. God's inspired word, that word which never lies, never deceives, that word which is our counselor. And we need that counsel. We hear the voice of the world, and it's pulling us in one direction. And we hear the voice of our own flesh. It's pulling us in that direction too. There is another voice. The voice of the Almighty himself. And God speaks in the scriptures. That is the word we are to hear. And to heed. And to hide in our hearts. That we sin not against the Lord. And it directs us in our walk with the Lord. We're called to fellowship with God in Christ. And the word is the great means of that fellowship with prayer. And so we rejoice in God's word and in the fellowship we have with our Savior in knowing God in Christ and walking with God even hand in hand. By faith, not by sight. The world walks by sight. All it can see, all it can hear, that's reality for the world. But for the believer, we look beyond all that is created. We do not look on the things which are seen, but on those things which are unseen. And for the child of God, those things revealed in God's word are more real, more substantial than all things created. Our sights are set, are they not, on heaven and the heavenly glory. But here is the reality. I walk in the midst of trouble. Paul could say, it was the lot of the apostles that they were troubled on every side. Good men, serving the Lord Jesus, bringing the greatest treasure to their fellow men, even the gospel of grace. And yet, it was their lot to be troubled on every side. Many adversaries. Do you not find that as a believer? Trouble abounds to the extent that it seems to surround us altogether. Whichever way we look, there are difficulties. It reminds us of the lot of Israel when God's people came forth from their bondage in Egypt. And at the Lord's direction, they left that land in a remarkable way. And it involved that passing through the Red Sea. That sea was before them. And Pharaoh and his host were pursuing them, bent on their destruction. The sea was a mighty obstacle. Pharaoh and his host were a fearful foe. And to either side were the mountains. hostile, inhospitable, closed in, shut in. And that was of the Lord, and that was for their good, because it shut them up to the Lord, to the God of promise, to His precious word. The promise was there. The promise of Canaan. The land flowing with milk and honey. But how to reach it? How to obtain it? Well, you must go through the Red Sea. And the waters opened up by God's mighty power. And as Israel trusted in the Lord, they passed through as on dry land. And that fearful foe, the Egyptians pursuing them, drowned in the depths of the sea when the waters returned. In the midst of trouble, the church is like that. The believer is like that. Trouble in the nation. A decaying society. The enemy has come in like a flood of iniquity, of abomination, perverse things, immoral, iniquitous, shameful things. And simply the extent of what is now condoned and regarded as normal, and who may dare speak against it? Evil is called good, and good is called evil, and good men are called evil if they raise their voice against these things, even out of love, a loving concern for the nation and for their fellow men. A country renowned once for its God-fearing people, for the place that the scriptures had, the authority of God's word, and a nation where government once gave that word its rightful place, and Jesus Christ was acknowledged as King and Head. All the sad state of affairs now. We have descended so far, we've gone so low, and we may even be wondering if there is any way of return for Scotland, for the United Kingdom, from the depths to which we sunk. I walk in the midst of trouble, a troubled nation, and yet so many can hardly see that there is any great trouble. But also trouble in the church. So many divisions, so many departures from God's word. Churches that were once thoroughly biblical, going away from the scriptures in their doctrine and teaching, especially in their worship, but also in their discipline and government. As though the Reformation had not taken place, as though the truths recovered at that time might be dispensed with now. And God's Holy Word, the Bible, while it's still supposedly the book we all believe and the book we live by, and yet the word of man now seems to have such a place. If some person of renown, some famous preacher says something, well then that is what we'll do. No, we go back to the scriptures, and we go back to the great confessions catechisms of the Reformation with their thoroughly biblical teaching. But I walk in the midst of trouble, there in the church, and in the family. We see changes in the family. We see families broken up. We see the young against the old. That lack of natural affection. Scripture warns us of that in the last days. And the harmony, the peace of the family, which is this great bedrock of a healthy society, it's gone in great measure. So much discord, so many things done against parental authority, and parents lacking in their love and concern for their sons and daughters. I walk in the midst of trouble. I love the Lord. I love His gospel. I love His truth. I seek to live by it. And yet this is how it is. I find myself walking in the midst of trouble. And then soul troubles. Troubles within. Troubles which arise from our own sinful nature. From our flesh. And the tempter at work, drawing us away from God, away from His truth. That's a great trouble. Sometimes we can feel as though sin is all around us and within us. And that may be a very distressing and dark experience. The Lord perhaps showing us something of our weakness, the weakness of our grace. We might think we're strong, but in reality we're weak in and of ourselves. I walk in the midst of trouble. And I must walk on. I must go forward, like Israel. There's no standing still in the Christian life. You must be pressing toward the mark. But how? In the midst of all this trouble, and knowing all my weakness. Well, we have help from the Lord. And there are two things to consider. Firstly, the Lord's reviving. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. This had been David's experience previously on many occasions. And this was his secret as a believer. And it is your secret too, as a believer. The Lord will revive you. And you know that you are not to look anywhere else. In your trouble, whatever it may be, however great it may be, you look upward to the God of heaven, who is your covenant God, who gave the Redeemer Jesus Christ to pay for your sins and to furnish you with all needed grace while you're in this world. You look up to Him and you seek His aid. Note verse 3. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. Oh, that is a precious experience. And it must be your experience and mine many, many times during our walk, our pilgrimage, here, brought into difficulty, enclosed by our troubles, How may I go forward? What help is there for me? Crying to our God, waiting upon Him, and then His answer coming. And the answer for David was in the form of a strengthening within. Not so much of the physical man, although the Lord may do that for us, but of the spiritual man. Strengthenest me with strength in my soul. We read in Isaiah those well-known and blessed words. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. What a picture that is. Ascending toward heaven. Enjoying communion with God. Lifted above this world and its troubles, our troubles, and knowing the Lord's favor, His presence, His upholding, and those who wait upon the Lord are enabled to run, and they're enabled to walk as appropriate. It's the quickening of grace. It's the blessing of the Holy Spirit in His operations upon the soul. A blessing we get in the Word, from the Word, and through prayer. The Lord coming to us in our weakness, as we may be languishing spiritually, and sensing the darkness, sensing the oppression, and wondering at the future. We bring it to God. We send up our cry. We do so in faith and in confidence. And the Lord is pleased to come to our aid and to strengthen us. Jesus Christ is your life. Your life is hid with Christ in God, in the covenant. And Jesus Christ is made of God unto His people wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And you need no more than that. It is all there. All provided for you by a loving God in His abounding grace. Fellowship with God is the way in which we walk in this world. Enoch walked with God. And when God is with you, if you have any sense of that at all, your troubles somehow, while they do not disappear, they diminish. The burden is lighter. Something of the heaviness within has gone. The Lord is holding up your goings. The Lord is enabling you to take one step after another along that narrow way which leads unto life. The reviving work of the Spirit, that is precious. Do we not need it in this present day? All too easy for the believer to be conformed to the world, to partake of the world in an unprofitable way, in reading and hearing and company, when we need rather to withdraw and to spend time alone with the Lord. That is never wasted time. That is necessary time if we are to continue to walk in the midst of trouble and to arrive at our destination, even what the Lord has appointed for us, eternal life in heaven. Then the Lord's restraining, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Here is another reality. Enemies against the church, against the Christian, and their wrath, their hatred. Many today not slow to admit that they hate what Christianity stands for, what it represents, how it claims that there is only one way to God, that Jesus Christ is the only Savior, and if there is no faith in Him and no repentance, then there is prospect for the man or the woman who will not bow the knee to Christ of condemnation, damnation, everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. How can you be so narrow, so bigoted, so conceited, so sure of yourself? Well, we point them to the Word. And the Word is plain. And if they would read it, they would discover these things. And we know that the reality is their conscience speaks of these things, and they're trying to quieten their conscience. Hence the hostility and the enmity toward the church and the Christian and the Word of God. And we have to face that. And we may have to face it increasingly in our decaying, ungodly society. But here is help. Thou shalt stretch forth thy hand against the wrath of mine enemies. They'll be stopped. They'll be turned back. They will not be able to do against me, against thy people, thy church, what may be in their hearts to do. God works in a wonderful way in His providence. We do not always see it or see it clearly, but there are bounds set upon the outbreaking of sin and iniquity. It may seem to us as though things are almost out of hand. Wicked men doing exactly what they wish, what they please, but they only do what the Lord permits them to do, and what the Lord has ordained that they shall do, and what He has ordained that they shall do will be used by the Lord for their own judgment and shame if there is no repentance, and also turned to good for the Lord's people. We must trust God for that. We must trust God that what is happening in our own nation, in our own day, is of God and will be for His glory and the good of His church. And we imagine that at some point people will begin to see and understand that all the troubles that are in society are there because we have cast God's word and God's law away from ourselves. We said we can do without God. We can do better. We can create a better society. And that's sinful folly. And we're tasting and experiencing the tragedy of such an attitude. And we plead with the Lord, do we not, that in his mercy he would intervene and deliver us and deliver his cause. For we know that if he does not, then the tendency is for things to go from bad to worse, and for all the cruelty and the blasphemy and sin of every kind to increase. We praise God for his restraining hand. We praise God that his hand is upon his people. They're in his hand. Your times, my times, are in his hand. And they're all drawn up by him. And in love, and one event leading to another, whereby he works all things together for our good, even to those that love him, those whom he has called graciously to fulfill his purpose in the world, to glorify his goodness, his mercy and love and grace. Do not fear the enemies of God. Do not fear those who assail Christian belief and practice, who attack God's word and all that is truly sacred. We may fear for them, but if they do not turn from their wicked way, judgment will fall upon them. But what can man do? Well, man can kill the body, but he cannot destroy the soul. We are to be fearing God himself, a reverence for God, because he indeed is the judge. But blessed be his name. For the sake of Jesus Christ, his dear people are acquitted. They know that according to the gospel. They know it according to their conscience, that they are washed in the Redeemer's blood. Their sins are blotted out before God in Christ. They stand complete, justified by the Saviour's righteousness. And you see, if God has done the greatest thing for his people, and he has, given Christ for their redemption, and brought them to Christ that they might know the saving benefits of the cross, then God will do the rest. That is in his covenant. And he will not forsake his own. He will not leave them in the midst of trouble. By and by, he will deliver them out of it. And especially, he will deliver them from that power of sin and the pollution of sin in their heart, even as they grow in grace and in likeness to Christ, until that day when he will take them altogether out of their sin and out of every trouble, because he will take them out of this world and into a far better world. So we carry on. We continue with Christ. We walk with God, and we do so in the confidence that whatever our lot in providence, how difficult it may be, the Lord is with us. His hand is at work. He will save us, deliver us out of every trouble. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious Heavenly Father, we are before thee in all our weakness, and the natural fears we may have at the course of events in the world today, and even in our own beloved land, so that we walk in the midst of trouble, and perhaps great trouble indeed. But we bless thee that heaven is thy throne, the earth is thy footstool. Thou art ruling over all the affairs of man. And thou art mindful of thy people, and thou art there as the one upon whom they may and should call, and that continually, for thy help. Come to the aid of thy cause, we pray. Grant to thine own people a reviving. And may Jesus Christ be magnified. We thank thee that he reigns, and that soon he will come again. And what glory then will belong to the church and to each and every saint, delivered finally from their trouble. Bless us and keep us, and forgive our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen.